Welcome to In This Case, a podcast from Hilti that goes behind the scenes at one of the most iconic brands in the world of construction. We'll talk to the people who make it all happen and ask them who, how, what if, and of course, why. Here's your host, Ali Hernandez.
Welcome back. So far in our season about sustainability, we have focused on why and how the construction industry is innovating to help reduce our environmental impact through decarbonization and circularity. But the environment is just one part of the sustainability equation. Another important focus area is people, and more specifically, the health and safety of the people who build our physical worlds and all of us who inhabit them.
When we say we care for people, we mean the health and safety, the well-being of all individuals. So that starts for sure with customers, with our own employees, but also down to partners in our supply chain.
This is Peter Rupp, Global Head of Sustainability for Hilti.
And within such a broad value chain, there are a lot of opportunities to do better for the health and safety of people working and living within the construction industry.
People like Eddie Campbell, who you might remember from last season of In This Case. Eddie is a sixth-generation construction professional who knows firsthand the importance of keeping builders safe.
We have real incidents that we have been basically like told about again and again and again, just drilled into our minds. You have to be safe. We want everybody to go home. If we can just knock things out in a safe way, if what we're developing as an industry aids and abets in getting more people home and gets them home in a way that they're not virtually crippled when they get there, where they can pick the ball up and play with their kid, that's good. We want that. And so those lessons learned, they're real in our family, and they're things that we have had beaten into our heads.
Improving the health and safety of builders on the job site is one opportunity that continues to be solved with innovative solutions like cordless tools, robots, and human augmentation devices. At Hilti, we have long created our products with safety in mind and continue to keep safety forefront when we design new job site solutions, like Neuron cordless tools.
So some of the Neuron health and safety features that were added to this platform are features such as our 3D ATC, which is active torque control, and then we have another called SenseTech, and also having a wider option within the portfolio for tools equipped with ATC features.
This is Khadija Talley, Health, Safety, and Environmental Product Manager at Hilti North America.
Previously with the active torque control, it kind of worked in, they call it one-dimensional plane. So if the tool went out of that one-dimensional plane, it would shut off so that individual doesn't experience kickback or different things like that. With the 3D ATC, it takes a spherical plane. So in all different directions, if that tool does something that's out of the norm, that tool shuts off in order to protect the worker. So that's the 3D ATC. And then we also introduced the SenseTech. And the SenseTech is pretty much on the grinder and the technology. It allows the individual, as long as they have a good grip on the tool, to be able to operate the tool without side switches or what we used to call dead man switches.
So basically, with Hilti's 3D ATC, the tool shuts off and the blade brake is activated when there is a sudden uncontrolled movement in any direction. And SenseTech technology shuts off the tool as soon as the operator's hand is removed from the tool grip. For example, when it's accidentally dropped. The tool then switches off and the blade brake is activated.
Some of the injuries that our global team saw and reason why they went into developing this feature like this is individuals, something happens, somebody falls or has some type of medical event and the tool drops. And what would happen then is the angle grinder would still continue to run. And so with this technology, if that does occur, as soon as that individual's hand releases from that tool, it shuts off. So that way we can help reduce the risk of having any additional injuries due to the tool still running when it was dropped.
The safety features of Hilti's new Neuron cordless tools help improve the health, safety, and comfort of tradespeople performing the work. Along with increasing the safety of the hand tools, Hilti is also offering solutions to help reduce fatigue, like our J-Bot and exoskeleton.
one of the biggest injuries within construction are musculoskeletal disorders. Those tend to happen in the shoulders, the back, knees, things or parts of the body that are really heavily worked when it comes to construction work. What we're trying to do is see how we can help individuals feel a little less stress at the job or feel a little less fatigued at the end of the day with the exoskeletons when they're doing above shoulder work, and hopefully reduce potential for serious issues later on down the road. Now, with the J-Bot, what this does is, again, it reduces that potential for fatigue of the individual that would do the overhead work. It's not necessarily replacing an individual, because the individual still has to run the J-Bot and set it up and everything, but it's helping that individual who would have otherwise have been on a scaffold or on a ladder reduce their exposure risk to different things such as shoulder issues or potential fall issues from being working at heights, those different types of things. So I really think it's awesome that we're exploring into this human augmentation space, just for a few different changing dynamics within the construction world, but also just to help workers feel better at the end of the day, and also be able to do the things that they want to do at the end of the day and at the end of their careers.
When thinking about health and safety on the job site, we think not just about how safely tradespeople can perform applications, but also how healthy the environment is in which they do the work.
So dust management is super important. In 2016, we had the new silica regulation that came out, and that really changed kind of that atmosphere and how people responded to dust out on their job sites. Not to get too technical, those little particles of silica dust, they get in individuals' lungs and they cause scarring. And when you have scarring, it reduces the capabilities of the lungs. And that's what's causing some of those long-term issues. So we've got vacuums, corded and cordless. We've got the attachments, the hoses, and the different accessories that are needed in order to put all of these combinations together. But in addition to that, we're not just providing a solution with just product in it. We also have the training to make sure that individuals are aware of what they need to do in order to help protect themselves, but also why they're doing these things to help protect themselves. So for us, it's a full solution. It's not just the product, but it's the training aspect of it as well, so people understand why and have a better sense of what they need to do.
Keeping the people who build our physical world safe is a shared aim among construction companies. And the progress our industry has made in creating safer job sites through innovation is appreciated by the professional contractors working on these sites day in and day out.
I'm appreciative of the innovations. Now, I'm thankful for the innovations, and I'm glad we're moving these directions, because construction is now going to be a career. Maybe you don't have to think I'm going to go into this career and I'm going to end up, 55 years old looking like I'm 80. Maybe I'm going to be able to have a good career as a person that works in craft. That I can make that a viable career. I can make decent money. I can be safe. I can go home and I can have a family life at the end of the day. And those are good things.
Now, when we think of the building life cycle, the construction phase is where we focus our efforts on keeping the people who build safe and healthy. The next phase is the occupancy phase. And it is here our industry is focusing on ensuring the people who live, work, and play in these built spaces are not exposed to toxic materials and they stay safe from natural disasters that threaten the structural integrity of these buildings.
Compared now to the user health and safety, we just talked about that, I think this is even a less, let's say, known topic. But also here, if I bring a practical example, just the recent very unfortunate earthquakes in Turkey, in Syria. I mean, I think it's absolutely fair to say if these buildings were designed according to the latest, let's say, safety regulations and codes for construction, many of these tragic events, collapsing buildings, would not have happened. And this is just one example. And I think We can, but that's not only we alone. That needs a strong collaboration with building owners, with specifiers, with regulatory bodies that these building codes are enforced, and then also applying the latest technologies to ensure that in case of earthquake or fire, these buildings withstand the needed situations.
Ensuring buildings can withstand disaster events is known as building resiliency. And it is becoming more top of mind for owners and developers, as well as individuals.
Usually disasters or like weather related stuff usually stay to a region, right? Like you're either known for earthquakes, you're either known for tornadoes, or you're either known for hurricanes. But now we're seeing that merging a little bit, where now we're seeing more than one type of disaster.
This is Melissa Cruz, anchor approvals engineer for Hilti North America. Melissa was born and raised in Puerto Rico until the age of 10, and has many close family members who still live on the island that has been threatened by a variety of severe weather events in the past decade. In 2017, Puerto Rico was struck by Hurricane Maria, a Category 4 hurricane that devastated the island that 3 million people call home.
That was probably one of the scariest things ever. It took 2 weeks for me to hear from my family. I mean, they went with no power for like close to 4 months. And no water for like the majority of that time too. So the most basic things, they just did not have and had no way of getting it. It was definitely a big shock, you know, to them and to, you know, everyone that had to live through that.
Damaging weather-related events are increasing in frequency and severity due to changes in our climate. According to the World Economic Forum, natural disasters occur 4 times as often as they did in 1970. And this reality is making owners and construction professionals reassess how they build. For more on building resiliency and managing shifts in climate patterns, here is Julia Geiswhite, Chief Sustainability Officer at Turner Construction.
On a lot of projects, you know, we're looking at future climate models because we all know that the weather of today is not the weather of the future. So as we're building buildings that are meant to stand for 50 and 70 and 100 years, we need to be thinking alongside our design teams about, you know, kind of opportunities that will help these buildings withstand more extreme heat conditions and higher wind loads and sea level rise and what have you. So example, if you're building a hospital, you need that building to operate and function in different conditions, and it needs to have very different performance than, let's say, a standard commercial office building, which might be able to withstand downtime, whereas a hospital in critical emergency conditions cannot. So we're looking on very, you know, project specific use cases. But what's interesting is that, you know, sometimes when you hold resilience against sustainability or, you know, looking at more climate related, factors, they're sometimes at odds. And so you have to, you know, if we need to make an exterior wall and we need to kind of reinforce it so that it can withstand higher wind loads over time, we might be adding more material, i.e. more embodied carbon into that wall. But there, we have to understand those trade-offs and then align on the best decision.
You know, so much of that work has to be done early in the process. And if you think about it early in the process, it's really easy to integrate into the design, and it just becomes what you do.
This is Tena Florian, partner at Lake Flato Architects. Her firm works to prioritize building resiliency while also thinking deeply about the trade-offs that Julia mentioned. When we spoke, Tena recalled a recent project that relied on that balance in a pretty major way.
Gulf Shores, Alabama. When you have seen as much hurricane destruction as they have, they need to build buildings that are more resilient to that. So that was a goal. So one of the things we did is we hired biologists to look at the healthy dune system. What does a healthy dune system look like, and how pushed back from the edge, the beginning of the dunes where the beach starts, or stops and the dunes begin, how much of a setback should we have in order to have enough space to have a healthy dune ecosystem?
Beach dunes consist of a unique combination of coastal plants that bind sand together. Strong and healthy dunes protect against coastal erosion that can give way to increased flooding.
We went 125 feet back from where we could have built and did dune restoration. Because of the resilience factor in terms of protecting the building from storm surge, but also to protect vital habitat for creatures living within the dune system. This project was the first fortified commercial building built, period. And that certification just made us go above and beyond in our specifications and during construction administration to ensure that our cladding and our roof was connected in a way to really help protect us from the high winds. And then we went above and beyond in terms of the finished floor elevation of the building and raising it up real high. So we said, okay, let's build the best, most resilient building we can at this location.
And sure enough, that hotel project was put to the test again in 2020 when Hurricane Sally struck the Gulf Coast.
I mean, they had generator use there at the lodge. They were feeding people. They were staff that couldn't be in their homes, went to the hotel and stayed in hotel rooms right there on the water. And first responders, they fed first responders for the hurricane. So, I mean, it's a really incredible story for a project to be right there. And usually, you know, you would probably have someone a little more inland that you would go to whenever there's a storm because everything along the water is in such bad shape. But in this case, the lodge performed really, really well.
The construction industry continues to focus on improving the health and safety of people who build our physical worlds and all of us who enjoy them. Hilti is proud to have people as a key pillar in our sustainability strategy, and even prouder to collaborate with partners who recognize that when people are better off, our industry is better off. And that is key to making construction more sustainable and ultimately better.
It's not so easy to measure the impact you can have. And often it needs kind of this crazy events that people are waking up. But I think here we have altogether a big potential to improve the building safety and ultimately life and well-being of people.
This is the fifth episode in our sustainability podcast series. Thank you for listening. In the next episode, we will look at society, how it fits into sustainability, and the role we all play in making our societies better. That's next time on In This Case.